Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. As we gather here this morning, I've got a wonderful piece of information to share with you. We are so incredibly blessed this morning to actually have a new clergy liturgist to be added to our rotation here on Sunday morning. So I wanted to take a moment to introduce for you Reverend Hazel Bates, who is here with us. She was ordained in the United Methodist Church of the Philippines, and she was ordained there. She's served in the church for 28 years. I believe you said the last 11 of them have been ordained through the church. She's served at churches that are small, at churches that are large. The most recent church that Reverend Bates served at was sort of similar size to Brighton and Whitmore Lake, and so we're so fortunate to have Reverend Hazel Bates with us. She's going to be added to the rotation of folks who come forward to do the opening welcome and announcements and all of the information that gets shared. Reverend Bates was married to her husband, Corbin, who's also been worshiping with us for the last 4 months, and he lives in the area between Brighton and Howell, and so when Hazel was able to join her husband here in the United States, we benefited from that. So Reverend Bates is with us maybe temporarily until she receives an appointment. But Pastor Lindsay and Pastor Lynn and I all sort of felt like it would be wonderful to have her serving amongst us. And so we're so fortunate to have you with us, Reverend Bates. And so I want to invite you to please extend a warm welcome to her as she joins our team here. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. This is the church who seeks to know God, to love God, and to serve God. We are glad that you are here with us, whether you're in person or online. If it is your first time here as a visitor or someone who is looking for a home church, you are at the right place. You are welcome. And we have a gift for you at the welcome desk. I am Reverend Hazel Bates, and it is my joy to be with you and serve with you today as your clergy liturgist. Our worship leaders will be Sue Orban, Carl Kapuska, and a skit team to present our scripture. This is a day that the Lord has made for us to hear his words from our Pastor John about the role of faith to our teens. For us to stay connected, please complete the connection card where you can find it in your bulletin or at the pew. And if you're interested in one of the ministry opportunities there, please sign up. And if you have prayer requests, please complete the prayer request card so we can pray with you. And you can put both the connection card and prayer request card into the offering plate later. And is there any children here? Children are so welcome to join the Sunday school downstairs, or they can also stay, and they are welcome to be with us here. For our announcements, the wall at the coffee hour has a lot of space waiting for your photo. Submit your photo and share a short explanation on how you experienced God at that time of your life. This coming 8th of November, that is Saturday, will be the church conference where everyone is welcome to attend, but only members may vote on items during the conference. They will have a worship service at 9 in the morning here in the sanctuary and followed by the conference proper at 10:15 with our district superintendent. Everyone is welcome to fellowship with a focus, an initiative by the Church and Society Committee that will be held on November 2 from 4 to 6 in the afternoon here at Brighton Campus. It's a potluck where everyone can also bring a dish to pass. There are some activities to anticipate, like transportation bingo, trivia, mindfulness practice, and writing an advocacy letter. I invite everyone to please stand as we sing our opening hymn, "I Love to Tell the Story." Words will be on the screen.
Thank you. And now please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, great teacher, be with us in this hour of worship. Help us to hear your word and discern your will for our lives. We seek to grow in discipleship and walk in your ways, full of your wisdom and mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Well, as we continue in this month of October, I just wanted to start by saying thank you for making it out through these biblical rains. We appreciate your attendance here this morning. And for those who are watching online, maybe you made a good life choice. But for those of you who are here in person, we're grateful to have you with us. During the month of October, we're doing this sermon series called Faith at Every Age, and we're highlighting all of the different ages and stages that God is at work in our lives. And today we're focusing on our student ministry, our teenage and the experiences that we have with God during those formational teenage years. And so today, we have a video testimony from one of our own. His name is Nomar Ruiz, and he is an amazing student that's a part of our youth group. Our youth group has so many amazing students in it, but I want you to take a moment and listen to Nomar's words as he talks about what confirmation and what the youth ministry here at our church has meant to him. And we'll start that in just a moment, but I wanted to share with you, we've heard back from 60 different families and individuals on our stewardship campaign, which is absolutely wonderful. We have received estimates of giving for $243,320. And as we move through this month of October, I wanted to let you know that the reason why we do this campaign, the purpose why we send out a mailing and ask people to send in an estimate of giving, is so that we can plan for the upcoming year. What it allows us to do is anticipate how much giving there might be in the church so that we can determine what ministries we'll be able to do and what ministries we might have to put on hold for a future time. And so that's the whole purpose for doing this. It's not a sort of comparison stick of who gives what. It's our opportunity to be responsible with the stewardship gifts that we receive. And so we're thankful for every gift, every card that comes in, regardless of the amount. And this year, if you haven't noticed on the giving card, there's also a thing that you can indicate that what you're able to do this year is just pray for the church. If that's all that you feel like you can commit, the financial future is uncertain, which is true for a lot of folks. If you just check that box, or if you say, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to give some of my time, those are incredible gifts, and our church thrives, quite frankly, on people who are praying for our church and people who are serving in our church in a variety of different capacities. And we just wanted to be, quite frankly, inclusive about all of the different ways that people give at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Those cards are on the back, and if you're able to fill that out and send it back to the church, it helps us plan for the upcoming year. And with that, I want to encourage you to turn your attention to the screen as we take a look at Nomar's testimony for us this morning.
Hello, my name is Nomar Ruiz. Today I'm here to talk about youth group and confirmation and with my experience in both of them. I've been in youth group for the past 4 years now. We've done a lot of fun activities, from going to Winter Bass, which is an overnight camp, to meeting every other Wednesday and playing a bunch of fun games, water balloon fights, coffee house for a cause, leading this younger group of children in their faith in God, and learning more about the Bible and how God can influence us in our lives. It's a great time, and I highly recommend any fifth grader to senior that does not attend and would like to come. We play a lot of fun games. We have a good time. We do a lot of fun church-related activities, if it's Noah's, preparing for Noah's lunches, or even just talking about the Bible. For example, last Wednesday, we just sat around in a circle, talked about ideas for youth group for a good hour, and then we talked and we read a few Bible passages. It's a very fun experience. I highly recommend it. I wouldn't trade that for the world. Now, last year, I participated in a confirmation class led by Pastor Lindsay, who she also leads youth group every other Wednesday. Confirmation was fun because you got to go more in depth into the Bible. You're able to have in a smaller group a more in-depth conversation and extend your faith with God. If you're in eighth grade, I recommend taking this course. It not only increases your faith in God, but also your faith in your fellow peers and what you can do to improve your faith and be a better person and learn about the Bible and improve your with faith, just like in youth group. I feel like the two go hand in hand. You could do one without the other, but I highly recommend doing both if possible. They are both great times of the week, both led by Pastor Lindsay, who does an excellent job, and other adult leaders. Too many to name, but we have in youth group, we have fun at pool parties and bowling and pizza parties and end of the year school parties, Christmas parties, movie nights, which we haven't done in a minute. But I highly recommend attending both. It's a great time. It's a great part of the week. I look forward to it. And if I can make it, I always try to. I really have fun. It's a great way to learn. Pastor Lindsay does a great job. I wouldn't change it for the world. Thank you again. My name is Nomar Ruiz. Hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you, Nomar. Wherever you are, we are blessed. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 2. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up, as they always did, for the feast. And when it was over, and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors.
Have you seen Jesus?
Have you seen Jesus? Boy,
have you seen Jesus?
I don't think he shaved yet. He's hot.
Have you seen Jesus?
Have you seen Jesus? Son, this tall?
Have you seen Jesus?
When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The next day, they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed.
Young man, why have you done this to us?
Yeah, we've traveled almost all the way home and back. So what's the story?
We've been worried out of our minds.
Mom, Dad, calm down. Why were you looking for me? Wouldn't you know that I was in my father's place doing business?
What?
But they had no idea what he was talking about.
I see. Well, let's all go home together then.
So then he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Nice job, everyone, with the skit. That's awesome. I appreciate the gifts of our congregation and a wonderful story that gets brought to life through the drama ministry. Thank you so much, Susan, for coordinating that. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to continue to ask questions and grow in our faith throughout the entirety of our years. Amen. Well, I admit I'm doing a little bit of pinch hitting here today for my wife, Pastor Lindsay. If you haven't heard, she had sinus surgery earlier in the week, and so she is recovering from that. And I was here last week, and I'm here this week, and so apologies for that. In the order of worship, it actually says, the sermon is by Lindy. There's no S in there. And I was like, I'm like the knockoff version of Lindsay this morning. Because really, this should be a sermon that Lindsay thrives in because, as Nomar mentioned, she does all of these ministries. She does the student ministry and confirmation. And she would love to be here sharing about the impact of confirmation and youth ministry and children's ministry, all of these areas that are such a huge, vibrant part of our church and what we do here. But I wanted to take a moment just to share, you know, this story about Jesus. It begins with his parents being with him, bringing him in this significant period in the life of any Jewish boy at age 12, just on the cusp of turning 13. If you have friends who are of the Jewish faith, you know that bar and bat mitzvah take place at that age. And so Jesus, like any good, you know, person on the edge of turning into a teenager, of becoming an adult in Jesus's time, you know, he's nowhere to be found. Right? His parents have these expectations of him that he'll be just there, and suddenly he's gone and they can't find him. You heard in the skit they were looking for him. They were searching for him, and Jesus has this sort of wild hair, and he goes off and he starts debating matters with the spiritual leaders in the temple, and there's this moment, right, where his parents have no idea where he is. And I got to thinking, you know, isn't that perfect that even Jesus, the Messiah of our spiritual tradition, has this sort of wild hair where he wanders off and he's nowhere to be found, and his parents find him in the temple of all places, and he's debating things and speaking with them, and, you know, his parents walk up to them, "Where were you? We don't understand what you're talking about," and then they just sort of walk out. But for a moment, Jesus is missing. He's having this, like, you know, teenage moment where he's separating himself from the sort of umbrella or parental, you know, sort of support structure that exists from Mary and Joseph. And I got to thinking about my own teenage experiences and also some of the things that our student ministry program is doing here at this church, some things that we're incredibly proud of. And if you were around last weekend and you participated in the Trunk or Treat event that happened at our church, you may have noticed that there were students that are part of our student ministry who were selling food for coffee coffee house for a cause, and it was their own initiative, it was their own dream, their own vision to start raising money for Crop Walk this year. And so they started selling hot dogs and chips and refreshments and raised on their own over $660 for the Crop Walk that's taking place in the Biblical Rains today. And they set a goal of $1,000, so they're close, they're on the cusp. Some students may be walking in this torrential downpour today. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Well, it depends on how they feel this afternoon. But, you know, it was their own vision, their own initiative. As Nomar mentioned, they sat down and they planned what they wanted to see happen throughout the course of this year. And with Pastor Lindsay's guidance and several other folks who volunteer with youth ministry, Megan's here. She's one of the volunteers with youth ministry. There may be others here as well this morning. But it's a strong group where people are able to ask questions and wrestle with their faith and work through their doubts. It's a time when students are able to claim their faith as their own. And you may not know this if you just started coming to the church, but the church actually owns another building that's right over here on this adjacent to the church property, right outside the Christian education classrooms down below the sanctuary here, that's called The Well. It's a place where our students meet every other Wednesday. It's been refurbished and recreated. A couple years ago, a deck was remade, and the student ministry program meets over there. There's a basketball hoop down below. And as Nomar mentioned, it's just this beautiful place where students meet in small groups, and they challenge each other and grow in their faith through the direction of staff and volunteers. I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for youth ministry. I've told you before that I got invited by a cross-country runner on my team to go to youth group. I showed up. My friend Zach never showed up, and I kept going. I just kept going, and the pastor at the church at that time, his name was Pastor Dan Mastro Giacomo, which is quite a name. It was a mouthful, but he was the youth minister there, and I'll never forget how I felt when I walked in the church and just was instantaneously welcomed. I was very, very curious at that time, asking questions, just like Jesus was asking questions of the religious leader right here. I got a hold of Pastor Dan's ear, and I just asked him question after question after question. Well, what about this? How can you believe this? How is this possible? And as I made my way through those questions, as he answered them one after another, he finally started changing his tactics. And instead of answering the questions with the sort of orthodox position, he started turning the question back to me. What do you think? What do you think? How would you answer that question? And he forced me to do research, which compelled me, you know, to continue to be more curious. Every question I asked, I remember at that time, led to more questions. And eventually he said, like, I give up. He sort of waved the white flag. He's like, I've had enough. If you have this many questions, I want you to start coming on Sunday nights to a class called Understanding God and God's Covenants, a class which I immediately signed up for. And there were a couple of adults named Joy and Wes Sloan who came and picked me up every Sunday night and brought me to this class. I wasn't driving at the time, and they brought me in to this class, and it was an amazing experience where I was able to continue to ask questions. It was very similar to what we would call confirmation in our church today. We began at the beginning of the year, met weekly on Sunday nights for an hour and a half to 2 hours, and I was just challenged to continue to read the scriptures more, to ask more questions, and to grow in my faith. And I got to thinking, like, I don't know where I would be without this pastor who had invested in my life, who had made me feel welcome, who had encouraged me to continue asking questions, and eventually said, I'm out of answers, dude. You answer these questions for yourself. Do your own research. Do your own homework. Keep coming back to me. You'll ask me questions if you can't find the answers yourself, but it's time for you to do some research. And I told you last week about my grandfather, who I would then turn and call. And I have to admit, this was a evangelical church at the time. It wasn't a United Methodist church that I was going to. And my grandfather just sort of like cast the reel out into the water and started reeling me in as a United Methodist, giving me better and better answers that I found more and more compelling. I'm grateful for my stint in the evangelical church, though. They gave me a framework of the scriptures that I've benefited from to this day. I want you to think about your formational experiences as a teenager. What happened in your life as a student growing up? Were there people in your life that helped you ask questions and help you wrestle with the faith? Were there people in your life that perhaps discouraged you asking questions, encouraged you to just take the answers hook, line, and sinker, and this is what the Bible says, and that's what you should believe, and that settles it, and that's the end of the story? Perhaps you had teachers like that. I believe with all of my heart that our student ministry here at this church is set up and designed for you to be able to ask all of the questions that you can possibly imagine. The confirmation program that we have at this church continues that work, and I was so moved last year. Perhaps some of you were here for this, when our confirmation students got up, and at the end of that experience, they stood up before the congregation and they gave a creed that they had written themselves. It's that moment that you claim the faith as your own. That moment when you're standing up here and there's no parents standing up here with you. It's just you, and you get to tell the church what it is that you believe. And that's what Jesus was in the midst of in this particular story. Claiming their doubts, their questions, their fears, their anxieties, the things that they might sit a little bit differently than their parents. And I think that's the beautiful part of this passage. You heard Dave and Pat Moore. They're like, Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about, man. His faith had moved beyond the umbrella of his parents. He was teaching some things that started to make other people in the religious community a little bit uncomfortable at that particular time. I'm aware that at our church, there are times that the students in our student ministry may say things that push us and challenge us because they see faith in new and innovative ways that are different than their parents and grandparents. I'm sure as I called my grandfather, I probably am responsible for one of his like heart incidents that he's had over the course of his life as he struggled and got to, you know, wrap his mind around the fact that one of his grandsons began his spiritual journey in the evangelical tradition and then eventually moved into the Protestant tradition, mainline Protestant tradition. What questions do you still wrestle with? In our denomination, we encourage the questions. In fact, we even encourage at times when Pastor Lindsay or Pastor Lynn or myself are up here preaching or anybody else we have up here, if there's something that's said or something that we say that contradicts some things that are core to your belief. And I preached a sermon a number of weeks ago when we were talking about the promises of God, and I made a statement that God will provide. And I, you know, it's probably one of the sermons that I preached that I received the most amount of feedback from a variety of people who are just like, Pastor John, there's too many incidents in my life where I haven't quite received the things that I thought God was going to provide for me to take that promise hook, line, and sinker. Thank you, but no. I loved it. It means that we're wrestling with our faith, that we're not just, you know, taking a message because it comes from the pulpit and internalizing that, but we're wrestling with it. We're asking, we're interrogating it and challenging it. And I believe that's what Jesus was doing in the temple at age 12. I hope that that doesn't change for you. I hope that this faith is emotional and that it is passion-driven, that you're able to take the things that are taught and brought up in the church, and it gives you some sort of emotional response, and that as you walk out of here, every once in a while you walk out skipping because you're so excited about what the church is up to. I hope that there are times that you walk out of here absolutely ticked about something that's happening in our world, or perhaps something that's being said. I hope that you react with the emotions of a teenager, somebody who's passionate and still driven and still believes that we can change the world with our actions. Because you can. As we reflect on this story, I celebrate the ministries of our youth group. If you aren't aware, the the group also goes on retreats. They've been to Winter Blast, and I don't know if you got that sort of subliminal plug, but I think Nomar's interested in a movie night. At least that was my takeaway from his testimony. We haven't done that in a minute. Anybody who's interested in resurrecting that particular ministry, it sounds like we're taking volunteers. Over the course of the last couple of years, there have been folks who volunteered their time, who gave a little bit of their time. This last summer, there were a number of individuals, students, who came in to paint the well, gave it a brand new color inside the area that's sort of the garage space outside of the main building there. And they spent a couple of days of their summer, right after school had ended, painting that space so that it could be refreshed for ministry, so that the students could, you know, use it as their own. I'm grateful for all of you who have given time to help make disciples like Nomar. If you've never met him face to face, I highly recommend talking with him about the Chicago Bears. He's as passionate as anybody about his football team. But right after that, Nomar starts asking questions about the Bible. And I'm so glad that this is a place where our students can wrestle with those questions. Push back, challenge us to be better, encourage us to take on mission projects like the Crop Walk. I'm grateful for Pastor Lindsay's leadership, and I'm so excited to see what these students become as they continue to spread their wings. Every once in a while, it probably feels just like Mary and Joseph. Where are those students? I don't see them. Where are they? And you know what's fascinating about it is, if you show up on any given Wednesday night, which you can unless you've been background checked and all that, but if you came on a Wednesday night and you just saw the students running into the well, you know, or walking into the well, I think you'd take heart in knowing that if you're out looking for where this next generation is or what hope there might be for the future, you'll find some amazing students walking in to the sanctuary and to the well, talking to the religious leaders and the volunteers who are helping them grow in their faith every other Wednesday night. It's encouraging. It's one of my favorite days to be married to Pastor Lindsay, because she'll come home skipping. We had a great youth group. It was so awesome. It was the best night ever. I'm like, great. That's awesome. What a gift we have to have a student ministry at our church. I hope that the questions and the passion that you experienced during your teenage years carry you long into your adulthood. Keep on questioning, keep on wrestling, and keep on with the passion that changes the world. Thanks be to God for the faith of our students. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, choir, for leading us in song. I want to invite the students who are here this morning who will be taking place in this year's confirmation class, if you would be willing to come on up for just a moment so that we can bless you in the beginning of your journey. If you want to make your way forward up here onto the chancel, that would be great. I think we have 5 students who will be taking confirmation this year, and Penny, Oliver, Riley, Crew, and Jennifer will be those 5 students. You guys can come up here. You guys are welcome. We're so excited for you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of the confirmation class this year. I pray that it's a blessing for all of you guys as you continue to grow and expand your faith. And so I want to invite everyone in the congregation to join me in a time of prayer as they begin this journey together as a class. It was homecoming this week, and so a couple of our students, understandably, are not here this morning, but they had a wonderful time, hopefully, last night, and were able to enjoy all the festivities of Brighton Homecoming. And so if you wouldn't mind joining me in a posture of prayer as we pray for our confirmation students. Gracious and loving God, we ask your blessing on these students as they begin their journey of confirmation. We pray your blessing upon them as they ask questions, as they wrestle with their faith, as they discern the scriptures and the stories of our spiritual tradition. May they grow. May they have their minds challenged and expanded as they embark on this journey. And may you be a blessing to them along their journey. May they know that this congregation loves and cares and supports them as they go through this year. And may we excitedly receive them into full membership of the church as they continue in this journey throughout this season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks so much.
Joey, think to yourself, is she going to make it? So, as I was preparing for today's prayer, as I always do, I read through the scripture that we're going to be speaking of, and today I read through it, and some of you may remember that I have been in the school setting, or I am in the school setting, and this is my 28th year. I am with preschool all the way up to high school and young adults, and so some of my day is spent with teenagers, and when I read through the scripture, and then when I saw it today, I could really picture him, Jesus, going, "What? What?" Because that is like the quintessential teenage response. But I also have to say that while sometimes teenagers can be very frustrating, can be very opinionated, can be very, you know, negative at times, I also find that they are the age group that uplifts me, that I enjoy the most, because you see the transformation happening in them, the internal arguments, the internal disagreements with their own philosophies, and it also keeps me youthful, I think, because of that. So that's what helped me craft my prayer today. So won't you join me in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we gather today in your house seeking wisdom, community, and strength. Like Mary and Joseph, we often search anxiously for what feels lost. We confess that sometimes we forget where to find you, forgetting that you are always in the midst of us, in the questions we ask, in the scriptures we read, in the ordinary places we overlook. Today we pray for hearts that seek you earnestly, for minds that are open to learning and growing, and for the courage to dwell in your presence, even when the answers are not immediate. Teach us to be like Jesus in the temple, curious, faithful, and eager to know you more deeply. May this church be a place where all generations come together to listen, to question, and to wonder aloud. Shape us through this time of worship and help us to leave not just informed, but transformed, ready to carry your peace, love, and truth. And Lord, as we lift our eyes beyond these walls, we bring before you the needs of the world. We pray for peace in places torn by war and hatred, for leaders to choose wisdom over pride and compassion over conflict. We remember those forced from their homes by violence, disaster, or poverty. Lord, be their refuge and stir us to be instruments of justice and healing. We pray for those weighed down by hardship, for the lonely, the grieving, the unemployed, the sick, and all who feel forgotten or unseen. May they know your nearness and the comfort of your presence. Surround them with care and renew their strength day by day. For those in our own community who are struggling in silence or fear, may this church be a place of welcome, a place of hope, a place of peace. We also pray for peace, comfort, and strength for our prayer quilt recipients today, David and Presley. And for us, Lord, when we don't have the words, when the world feels overwhelming, remind us that even then we can sit quietly in your presence and find that you are already there waiting. And now let's sit quietly in his presence. And let us join our voices in the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for your prayer, Carol, for leading us during that time. There are so many different ways that we can respond to God's good work in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and the ushers will be moving through the sanctuary to assist us as we receive those gifts. And as they do that, I wanted to share with you that in just a little over a week, our building will be under construction again. A couple of times over the last couple of weeks since we redid the parking lot, I've had the privilege of being with our guys from Men with Tools, and one of the things that we love to do, amen, Men with Tools, is set up tables and chairs. Am I right, Larry? We love to do this because all of the tables and chairs are downstairs in the lower level of our building, but they quite frequently are brought to the upstairs part of our building. And previously, when we would move these tables and chairs from the lower part of the building to the upper part of the building, it would take a team of six guys to push the tables or the chairs up to this area. And, you know, coincidentally, when the parking lot is flat, it is remarkable how much easier it is to push those tables up to the second floor. Amen. It's great news. But in a couple of weeks, we will be constructing or redoing the bathrooms in our church. And I want to say it probably will be a minor inconvenience for us, but the men's and women's restroom on this floor will be under construction probably for a couple of weeks. But I want to let you know there is a restroom inside the music room, and there's also a restroom right outside Pastor Lindsay or Stephanie's office. And those are going to be the restrooms primarily that we'll be using while our restrooms are under construction. I want to let you know it's going to be great on the other side. These restrooms will be accessible. They'll be beautiful. They'll be completely renovated. And in between here and there, I want to let you know there also are beautiful restrooms right outside the elevator when you take them down. But I wanted to share we're on the road with our Building Together campaign to try to improve our building sort of system-wide. So beginning, not next Sunday, they'll still be available, but beginning the following week, that Monday, those restrooms will be closed for a couple of weeks while we renovate those and make them more accessible so that everybody is able to use them more gracefully and without barrier or obstruction. So we're excited about all the work that we've done together through the Building Together campaign, and just wanted to share that update. The next project on our list will be to put air conditioning units in the sanctuary and throughout the preschool and replace some of the air conditioning that we have in the offices and in the choir room. There there are a couple of people in the choir who don't necessarily like singing over the loud hum of those window units, and our preschool students appreciate learning in, you know, like sub 90 degree temperatures. So we're excited to be replacing those as well as we continue to move through the Building Together campaign. Thank you so much for your incredible generosity. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you through the offerings we bring today. Use them in this church to make a place where people of all ages can continue to grow in discipleship. In your name we pray. Amen. Worship service. I want to share with you just a brief story to close our service. A couple of weeks ago, when I was visiting one of our parishioners in the hospital, it was late in the evening, and I went down the elevator at the Ascension Hospital in Ypsilanti, and the doors open, and I was walking out, and the elevator on the other side of that little vestibule area open, and sure enough, as walking out of there was Pastor Dan, the same pastor who had answered my questions years and years and years ago. And it was 11:30 p.m., and I was like, is that Pastor Dan? And he's like, yes, here I am, a chaplain. And he's not serving in that role at this point anymore. He's moved on to another appointment. But the door opened, and I just was like, you're not going to believe this. And his mouth sort of opened or whatever. He was in shock, you know, as I introduced myself and reminded him who I was. It had been years, like 20 years since we had seen each other. And I said, well, now I'm serving in the ministry. You should have seen, like, his jaw drop. Now, I'm not sure, you know, how to interpret that. I think it was probably a surprise to me that I ended up in the ministry, and it was a surprise to him as well. But there's something special that happens between students and the people who give of their lives to invest in the next generation.
After visiting for a couple of moments, it was so awesome to reconnect and to have a chance to share about what had happened in life over the last 20 years. I want to challenge you to invest in the lives of students, because you never know when that elevator door will open decades later and you have a chance to run into somebody that you invested some of your time and energy in. I also want to encourage you, for those of you who have spiritual mentors who are still alive, who helped develop and challenge you in the faith, that you would take a moment and reach out to them and just say, you're not going to believe this. It's a shock to you and me, but here I am, a contributing member of First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Thank you for investing in me and seeing the potential of who I might someday become. Thanks be to God that this faith has continued from generation to generation and has seen us through some of our teenage years where God only knows where we might be. I'm so glad that some of our students find their way to the temple even when their parents are going, I have no idea where they are. On your way out today, I hope you'll take a moment to greet and welcome Reverend Hazel Bates to our community and to our congregation. Her and her husband have been here together for 4 months, so take a moment and say hi to her and welcome her into this community of faith. We're so grateful to have you with us. Thank you for serving amongst us during this time. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and may you never stop asking questions and wrestling with this beautiful faith. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.